This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk again next hour with some community conversation on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The news this hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 72 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest ABC News, Washington Post Ipsos poll showing a majority of Americans say they want Joe Biden to step aside from the presidential race. Donald Trump's favorability ratings also low. ABC News political director Rick Klein has more on the battle between the two current candidates.
This is a dead heat of a race. In the 2 weeks of the debate, so much has changed, but the horse race truly hasn't. Donald Trump up a single point, well within the margin of error. For contrast, back in April, he led by 2 points. We're basically where we've been all along.
Fewer Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week as the labor market remained sturdy despite high interest rates. When it comes to inflation, it cooled in June for a third straight month. More than a million homes and businesses are still without power following Hurricane Beryl's landfall earlier this week. The storm moving up through the Midwest and now the Northeast. The remnants bringing flooding to Vermont. Roads were covered with debris after heavy rain started Wednesday and persisted overnight. This is ABC News. Boeing still confident it can safely bring home two astronauts who took its new Starliner capsule to the International Space Station and were only supposed to be there for a few days. Mechanical issues have kept them there for a full month.
They still insist this is not a crisis. No one is panicking. There's no rescue mission that is in the cards here. In fact, they insist that if they had to leave right now, they could do it. But you have these two astronauts, Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams. We heard from them from the ISS yesterday for the first time. They say they're in good spirits, but they've been stuck now here for several weeks longer than it was first anticipated.
ABC's Trevor Ault. Shake up in Kenya. The president dismissing all of his cabinet ministers after weeks of sometimes violent protests over high taxes. Protesters last month stormed parliament. More than 30 people were killed. And discount chain Big Lots now says it will have to start closing locations. Rising prices and declining sales getting the blame. It plans to close about 40 stores, but no word where. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish dinner. Fish serve from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and 4 o'clock on Sundays. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been serving the Southwest Wisconsin area since 1889. We pride ourselves on doing things the right way, paying attention to even the smallest details, and assisting your family every step of the way in your time of need. I'm Mark Jelinek. I am proud the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service still represents the values that have helped us be trusted and depended on for many generations. Learn more at PrattFuneralService.com.
Partly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms possible today, a high of 82. For tonight, isolated showers early, then patchy fog later, a low of 61. Plenty of sunshine and warm Friday, a high of 85. Friday night clear and pleasant and a low of 63. Saturday partly sunny, very warm and muggy, a 30% chance of spotty showers or thunderstorms and a high of 87. Sunday 92 with a few showers and thunderstorms possible.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? It's a principle.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Your car does more than take you from point A to point B. It helps you navigate through life with those you love by your side. We are here to provide the protection you need on that journey while helping you get a great value for your money. With auto insurance coverage from Julie Karen State Farm, you can count on competitive prices, efficient claim service, around-the-clock support, convenient access, financial strength and integrity, and personalized service from a company and agency you can trust. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Morning. On the first segment of our morning show today, we have some friends in the studio. I'm telling you, we have Tiny Acres Farms representatives, and it's always a fun time when Jenny Ferguson shows up with friends, and Emma Shields is here, and we have today Rooster, the red kangaroo, we have CJ, the armadillo, and we have Stassi, the red fox. Oh, my goodness. And they're a little mic shy, so we're going to bring Jenny out first here. How you doing, Jenny?
Good morning.
Good to have you in here.
Yeah, thank you.
We've been noticing Tiny Acres Farms at some area events and things like that. Has it been a busy 2024?
It has been very busy. We're definitely getting more recognized in the community, and people have reached out to us for grand openings or parties, or just to have us. So it's been fun. We've been able to share animals with the community,
which is fun. I know you were recently, oh my goodness, I just got, it's not every day a kangaroo runs behind you here while you're hosting the morning show. Rooster is on the move. Recently you were at Julie Karen State Farm Insurance for their After the Rodeo Parade.
Yes. When she had a really good turnout. And then 2 weeks after that, we were at the grand opening for Chet's. Uh-huh. So we did see a lot of community in the last couple weeks.
And this summer, you've been at some libraries, too. Tell me about that.
We have. We just started our Zoo to You program, which is new, and we're tweaking it as we go. We're learning also. So it's more of our exotic animals that are included in the Zoo to You program. We have a couple different packages that we can go into libraries or schools, or we even have a couple homeschools or daycares that we've gone into. And it's more of a sit-down educational, so we take our the species in, and normally they get to kind of pick from a package depending on the animal's mood also. And we get to, then we go in and we give like a little background, and they can ask questions, and they can touch them, and some of them they can feed.
Tell me about, you know, that's really got to be an awesome thing for them to learn about, maybe reading about things in the library, and then all of a sudden see that animal. What a great educational opportunity that
is.
Yes,
definitely. So some of the programs that we've done, the kids have actually done a little bit of research before we've got there. Mm-hmm. So we've had some awesome questions. And Rooster's feeling at home.
Rooster's laying down, taking a nap. Oh, my goodness.
So, and the kids, some of the kids have drawn pictures. So they have picked an animal that we have brought, and then they've done their homework on it, and their art project was to draw it. So it's been really neat to be able to see how much that we have influenced the kids. And some of the kids not being able to possibly never be able to touch or see these animals, and they get to, you know, experience this.
I would guess of all the animals, and you've got some special, some very special ones, but I would guess your kangaroos probably are the stars of the show, aren't they?
They definitely are. They're definitely well known.
Mm-hmm. And Oliver's grounded. Oliver didn't make it today.
Oliver is at home. He's on timeout.
Oh.
Oliver is hitting his terrible twos.
Oh.
And
kind of like children,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yes. And he's sometimes a naughty toddler.
Oh.
So he doesn't always cooperate well out in the community. And we go through that with, and he's at home being a kangaroo. So we go through that with all of our animals. We still have to remember that they are wild animals, and we have to let them be and go through those stages. And when they're ready to come back out in the community and it's safe for the community and the animal, then he'll come back out. But for right now, he's going to hang out at home.
So Oliver, probably one of the biggest challenges with him at this stage is just kicking, right?
Kicking, biting, wanting to do his own thing. You know, he's just figuring life out. Kind of where his pecking order is also with his brothers. So
again, kind of like real people.
Exactly.
Right? So what do you think? In the studio right now, we have Rooster, the red kangaroo, and just kind of chilling. What do you think goes through their mind if they could talk right now?
You know, I got to say, he's probably liking his lifestyle. He's in the air conditioning. He's just kind of... Life isn't too rough for him.
People can see him. He's just sprawled out. Now he yawned. I think he's about ready for a nap, is what I would say. So how long have you had Rooster, the red kangaroo?
We've had Rooster for a little over a year. He was actually an adult. He was over a year. He was not bottle fed. He was already out of the pouch when he came to us. We had him a little bit older, but he had already been exposed to the community world. And so we thought he'd be a really good asset to our program.
Mm-hmm. How many different breeds of animals do you have at Tiny Acres Farms? That's a tough question, I guess.
It is. I kind of lost count.
But you do have, you have calves, you have cows there as well, right?
We do. Our main focus still is on our miniature Highlands. Mm-hmm. We still do raise those and sell those. And, but, you know, the exotics are kind of my hobby. So, we still do have the miniature Highlands. We have miniature ponies, miniature horses, and of course, a lot of exotics.
And you have to do a lot of research to kind of figure out what they eat and the feeding schedules and all those things, don't you?
Correct. We do. And very few of them share the same diet. So it does. I mean, we have a lot of different diets and a lot of different supplements. They're not on our eating schedules, so or sleeping schedules, so you have to take that into consideration too.
You have to feed them at least a couple of times a day, so I'm guessing the full day is from sun up to sundown, you're pretty busy, aren't
Definitely.
You?
Definitely. That's a full-time job, taking care of them between, you know, the feeding, the cleaning, and socializing. So it's definitely a full-time job.
Emma Shields is here as well, and she's holding a beautiful red fox named Stassi. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Tell us about the fox you're holding.
So she is a red fox, but she is actually white. She looks like her mom, and her dad is a silver Russian fox. And she is about 3 months old right now, so very much a baby still. And, we're just starting to get her socialized, too.
What a beautiful animal. And when you say red fox, that would be the last thing that I would guess because she's all white.
Yes, yes.
So very typical. I mean, we see foxes, you know, in the wild and things like that, but I'm guessing it's pretty similar to raising a dog, isn't it?
Yes and no. So they still have that wild instinct, and they are a lot more energetic than a dog would be, but pretty similar in a way, but just, different though.
If we let Stassi down, she might be hard to catch, right? Can she run pretty fast?
They definitely can run very fast. So the one thing that is, don't like to let down in the house because... As much as you try to housebreak a fox, you will not housebreak a fox.
Oh, is that right?
So they have a litter box, and they'll use their litter box, but they will also go on the floor.
Okay.
So if there's something they like, they will mark it. It doesn't matter. You can try and try and try, but there is no way you can totally housebreak a fox.
Okay. I'll have to remember that. So. Emma, there are some new programs that Tiny Acres Farms are a part of. Can you tell us about those?
Yes. So I started with doing like the kangaroo grams, and now we are adding like a zoo to you program. And so I've gone into a couple different schools and some libraries, and I've brought a couple different animals with me. It kind of depends on how many they want and kind of the crowd that they'll have. And so we just totally customize it for them. And they can kind of pick the animals they want. And it might not always work out for each one, but kind of depends on their mood. As Jenny said, like, they are wild animals, so we have to respect that. And I've had a lot of fun with doing that. It's kind of just the perfect job for me. I love the animals, and I love to be out in the community and kind of just share my knowledge with it.
Yeah, I'm guessing not every animal is going to be one that you're going to want to take into a classroom where the children might get excited and, you know, excitable and haunt them or scare the animal, right?
Yes, yes. And we do have them pretty well socialized, but it works different with some other or crowds and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. What about pet therapy? Is that something that you guys talk about a little bit at Tiny Acres?
We do. We've done that in the past. Definitely have done a lot of that in the past. We have gone into the schools and done some of it. We've actually had a few individuals come out to the farm and spend time out at the farm for a couple hours and maybe sit with the animals or brush the animals or just one specific animal. We see a lot, like with our programs or even our petting zoos, that you'll find it, you know, a kid and sometimes even adults, they'll just be sitting in the corner with a bunny and so they can still get a little bit of that animal therapy at our bigger petting zoos if it's a hands-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that would be a great advantage for somebody to get that experience. And
definitely,
you know, yeah.
And even, you know, some of our zoos, one of the schools we did a summer school program for, and we went through the package and kind of asked her what animals she wanted. And she said, you know we're a rural farm or a rural area school, but she said, could you just bring some basic farm animals? Because we have some kids that have never seen a pig or have never seen a goat. You know, we kind of take some of that stuff for granted. So for us to take a bunny or even like our little pigs into school, the kids are at awe at, you know, to see them.
Not every day you get to see an armadillo either. And what you're hearing in the background is CJ. He's making some noise in the background today.
Yes.
When I saw Henry carrying him in, I could see like the, I don't know if they're quills or whatever he has on the back of his shell.
That's hair.
That is hair, yes, but it was standing up. I thought it was a porcupine, but it's an armadillo.
Yep, he's a hairy armadillo. CJ is not a morning guy, so he's not real happy that I got him out of bed this morning to come do the morning show.
We have coffee in the other room there.
Well, he might need some.
Yeah, he's moving around. So armadillos, you know, we're they're not native to Wisconsin, so we don't know a lot about them.
No, they are not native to Wisconsin. They're pretty neat. They are they're like little tanks. They're, you know, we have learned a lot. We're still learning a lot about him. He is our newest ambassador to our program. He has only done a couple zoos. He had come from a retired breeder. The retired breeder said, you know, he's the only one I have left. He hasn't really been handled much. So are you interested? And so why not?
Mm-hmm. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
What do armadillos typically eat then?
Oh, he, you know, they kind of eat really anything. I mean, you think about like Oklahoma and Texas, you see him munching on roadkill on the side of the road. And so his basic meals are, he eats kibble, he eats fruits and vegetables. He gets meat a couple times a week, but he loves insects.
Mm-hmm. Likes to have his back scratched, it looks like.
He loves his back scratched. He loves to take a bath, and then we'll get the toothbrush and go in between and give him a little scratching.
He just curls right up when you do that, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, man, that's fun. Well, the last time we were here, I think you talked about the Boo at the Barn event in the fall. Are you going to do that again?
We are. We had great success. It's grown every year, and it's wonderful to be able to bring everybody together for just a few hours and watch everybody have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we are planning it again. It is going to be October 27th this year. Halloween falls in the middle of the week, so it was, you know, kind of hard to pick which Sunday. But we are going to do the 27th. So, of course, our event depends a lot on sponsors. So we are starting very soon to start our sponsor program, or our sponsor, looking for our sponsors.
Hi, the Kleenex is. Yeah. I think Rooster wants a Kleenex.
We're being distracted. Rooster's stealing. but we're doing a couple. I'm going to shake it up a little bit this year. We're going to do a little bit different levels for sponsorship. And instead of. It's been kind of confusing, but we're learning as we're going. This is something that we just decided, hey, one day to do, and we didn't expect it to be as big as it is. So. Just, I guess, trying to get it a little bit more organized.
I see. So when you invite people to the farm, is that one of the times that they can come to your farm and see the whole thing? Or do you book tours during the year?
We typically book tours. We're typically open. But this year, Mother Nature has wreaked havoc on us. this year we're closed. We have some projects going on, plus... with all of the rain that we've had, we have been flooded multiple times, and we still have standing water. So it's not fun right now for the animals, so I know it's not going to be a good experience for the people to come see them.
Mm-hmm. Muddy.
Very muddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some insects, though, for your armadillo, you know, right?
Right. Yep, and the bearded dragon.
Yeah, everybody can eat them. What's the most... you know, I guess maybe unique animal that you have. Any idea?
That's hard because we do have a lot of, you know, pretty interesting animals. We have a kinkajou, and people aren't really familiar with those.
What's that, Emma?
A kinkajou, it's native to South America and most related to, like, raccoons and the Codamundis. It kind of, when people see it, they kind of would think it's related to a monkey, but it's not. It has a tail like a monkey, though, and can wrap around stuff. So kind of like a possum, I guess, too, I'd say.
Wow. How much do you love your job?
I absolutely love my job. I love all the animals. I'm very lucky, and my children are also very lucky too. Like I have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they just love the animals too. They love when they get to come out and see them, and yeah.
So is there an animal that you take care of that's your favorite?
I have a couple favorites. I love the Roos. And I also love, there's a Codamundi and then a Cavey as well. And those are a couple of my favorites. My son's favorite is the bearded dragon, Sandy. He's always talking about her. And whenever he's came to different events with me, he's like, why can't we just bring Sandy with us? Like, I just don't understand.
Oh, sure. So typically, do you get these animals? Are some of them rescues, Jenny?
Some of them are. Some of them are from breeders. I mean, we do get some that are young that we can start. Some of them have to be young to get socialized for what we do. But some of them are from retired breeders. Some of them are from bad situations. Some of them we've had dropped off that have just been found.
Really? So they know that you house those kind of animals? So.
Yeah, unfortunately. We get phone calls quite often or messages quite often asking if we'll take random animals. And even though we are licensed and permitted for certain wildlife animals that we can't take in fawns or we can't take in raccoons or squirrels or, you know, it's for multiple purposes and we can't have them around our animals. And I'm not licensed as a rehabber. And we can't, we just don't have the room or time.
Do you have any snakes?
No.
Okay.
We won't have snakes.
Good. That's awesome. So in terms of the animals, is there some on the want list that you'd still like to get?
I do. I want a sloth.
Ah.
I've wanted one for quite some time. There are some want animals on the communities list.
Also, people make requests.
Yes, they do. Ah. They do. So I have got a request a few times for a giraffe.
You need to build a bigger barn, right?
And that's what I've told them. Yep, yeah, that's I've told them they're more than happy if they want to put up a structure for the giraffe. I don't know. I'm pretty satisfied with what I have right now. We have a good variety, so yeah.
Do the animals get along pretty well, Emma?
Yes. Yeah. For the most part, they've always kind of. They're together, so it's kind of like a big family there. Of course, there is some fighting, just like any family would be, but yeah, they all get along pretty well.
I've seen some pictures where they're snuggling together at night, some of the animals.
Yes, you know, that's... the ruse and the dogs.
Yeah, the ruse and the dogs seem to get along pretty well. Huh.
Yes.
Interesting. And they have the ruse have pouches, right?
Only the females.
Only the female. Do you have a female?
I do. I have two female wallabies.
Okay.
Yep. I don't have any female roos.
Mm-hmm. All I can think of is, and I think I said this the last time, but if you ever seen the classic episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where Granny thinks it's a big jackrabbit, it's actually, so I see our friend Rooster running around here, and I think of Granny Clampett. I don't know
why.
Seeing things. Oh, that's great. So when will you next be out in the community, out and about, Jenny?
Let's see. I think our next community event is not until the end of July.
Okay.
We have some private events, but I think our next community event would be in Lancaster at their library.
Okay. For a summer library program.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And then if people are listening and they would like to possibly have you guys show up, how's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of us would be probably through Messenger. You can reach us through our website, and they could... If you reach out and look through our website, they can see the different programs that we offer and what is all in detailed in them. And then if something fits their, you know, their event, or if they just want to learn about it, that they could definitely reach out to us, and we would love to set something up for them.
Uh-huh. That would be awesome. And right now, the kangaroo is chewing on my shoe. How about that?
They love shoelaces.
Do you like shoes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Huh. Interesting. Every day. It's a lesson in trying to concentrate, I can tell you.
It's very hard sometimes to concentrate with them around. They're good at stealing your papers.
Yeah, he was just trying to steal some papers here off the desk. Anything else you'd like to add today, Emma?
It's July 30th. It's a Tuesday. That's when I'll be in Lancaster at the library.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll be for a Zoo to You program, so we're not set on what animals we're bringing yet, but there'll be a variety of them that we'll bring.
Okay. And again, people can make requests then, too. They're going to be going to that event then. They kind of ask you what you're going to see?
The hostess has... when she fills out like the contract, she'll put down what she'd like us to bring. And that's sometimes why we have a few multiples of our things, because if, like, for example, Oliver isn't cooperating, we could bring Rooster. So they are able to write down a few different species that maybe they want. And we try to accommodate everybody, but, you know, like we've said, sometimes the animal's just not having it, and it's not going to be a good experience for everybody, so we just substitute it with something else.
Mm-hmm. And tell people not to feed them, too, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, some of them we do feed we're there. The kangaroos, they feed, and so Emma will actually hand out snacks and show them how to feed them, and the kids are able to... She'll go around and the kids are able to feed him.
So keep us posted on Boo at the Barn. Again, you're looking for some sponsorship for that currently?
Yes, we're definitely looking for some sponsors. It's early stages. We're just getting it together. But we'll be working on that pretty soon because October's around the corner. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into planning that day.
And we'll hope for good weather. I think you had one of the Boo at the Barns. It wasn't very nice.
Last year was cold. It was really windy, kind of rainy. It was definitely, I think, our most challenging year, but we still had a good turnout. We made it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guessing kids just love to come out and see all the animals.
They do. They love to go trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treat.
They love to be able to see the animals and feed. And last year we added a couple of the bouncy houses, so the kids were able to stay busy there.
Great. Again, the date for that for this year?
October 27th.
Okay, so it'll be right in the Halloween season. Yeah. So, great. Well, thanks for stopping by and seeing us with all your friends today.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Rooster's going to be naughty before we leave.
Yeah. Oh. Always good. And you guys have, people can check things out on some of your socials too, right?
Absolutely. So we do post a lot of our pictures from all of our events on our social media. And we do have some of our stuff put on our website. And we do try to keep updated by the month as far as where we'll be out in the community.
Okay, so people can check that out. Mm-hmm. Emma, have fun. Boy, it's been good having you in here.
Yes, today. Yes, thank you for having us.
Come back and see us again.
Yes.
We want to thank CJ the Armadillo, who is quiet today now, Stassi the Red Fox, and Rooster the Red Kangaroo, all a part of Tiny Acres Menagerie of Animals, and Emma Shields and Jenny Ferguson in the studio. Come back and see us when Boo at the Barn gets a little closer.
Absolutely.
All right, sounds good. Tiny Acres Farms on the first part of the morning show.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Are you ready for a sizzling summer event? The Avoca Blue River Muscadet Lions Club proudly presents Rib Fest this Sunday at the Lions Shelter at Victoria Riverside Park from 11 until 2 or until sold out. Enjoy a tantalizing slab of soggy bottom barbecue ribs for just $18 plus sides like potato salad, coleslaw, beans, and plenty of cold beverages. You can even get it to go. Plus, plenty of family fun. The Avoca Blue River Muscadet Lions Club Rib Fest this Sunday from 11 until 2.
Wagner Auto is your hometown family-owned towing service. When your vehicle needs a tow, they can handle it, no matter the size. Rely on professional 24-hour towing service with reasonable rates, all from the local towing company you can trust. Wagner Auto, 647-3443.
Boscobel is Wisconsin's outdoor recreation destination. The Boscobel Chamber of Commerce encourages your visit soon. Boscobel Pharmacy gives the best care for the best you. With excellent service, a dedicated and experienced staff is ready to meet your home health care needs. Total Project specializes in fire alarm installation and repair, security cameras, telephone systems, and audio and video solutions throughout Southwest Wisconsin. Stop by Utter Brothers Creamery, new location at 1100 Elm Street, Boscobel, the former DQ building, and try one of their many new food items.
The Muscadet Mudcats would like to say thank you for their sponsors this year for Hometown Baseball. These sponsors include Philback Ford, Meister Cheese, Subway of Richland Center, Goplin Insurance of Richland Center, Royal Bank, Honkers and Sportsmen's, Wilkinson Auction Services, Walsh's Ace, Foggy Bottom Woodworks, and the Village of Muscadet. Again, the Mudcats would like to thank the sponsors for the 2024 season.
Every year, 4.5 million young adults between the ages of 18 and 24 visit the ER.
It's every parent's nightmare.
Umergency gives you all the tools you need to quickly and effectively manage your family's emergency. Umergency provides instant access to vital resources customized to your student's campus and local community, digital consent form, and built-in urgent alert button. Umergency gives you peace of mind when you need it most. Download your Umergency app now.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
As our morning show continues, we're here to talk about some of the great things going on at Richland Center High School and going to focus on football and some camps coming up and also the Richland Sports Boosters, who we'll talk about as well. But joining us in the studio today is Andrew Troxell, joined by Tiffany Lemke, and Chris Clerkin is here today as well. Coach, it's not going to be long. We're going to be bringing in here for some football interviews.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It seems like it's going faster every single year. So it's always exciting. You know, we give the kids a little bit of time off with football. We sprinkle a little bit in June. Once we get to July, it's go time, you know, and then once we get to August, I mean, it's like a blur for the next few months.
We wanted to talk, too, I guess, before we get into looking ahead to the next season, but Teague Perkins will represent the Hornets. How cool is that to have an all-star?
Yeah, we're really excited about that. I mean, Teague has been just a staple on our team for the last few years, you know, and to see him have that kind of recognition and compete with the state's best at the All-Star game is super exciting, not only for him, our program, but also the Children's Hospital to kind of raise awareness for their needs as well. So we're excited. We have some coaches that will go up and will attend that stuff and just celebrate his accomplishment. It's pretty cool.
What position will he play?
He'll be a defensive lineman.
Okay. Because I'm guessing he could have had his choice, probably, of where he went, right?
Yeah, typically what we do is we nominate kids with the all-region meeting. And this year, the head coach for the South All-Stars is Jim Matthias from Broadhead Judah. And I know as soon as that online registration was eligible, he sent me a message and he said, make sure you nominate Teague. We want Teague. We want to put him as an anchor on our defensive line for the All-Star game.
So he would have seen Teague play a few times, right?
Yep, absolutely. He would have game planned to go around Teague, right?
No doubt about it. Well, tell me what's been happening during the month of June with the Hornet football team.
Yeah, so we really want to open up opportunities for kids in our area. And so June, like I said, is a little bit light, but there's still a lot of activity that happens. So we had 2 7-on-7 activities. And for those that don't know exactly what 7-on-7 is, we essentially take the linemen out of the mix. And so it's a lot of receivers and running backs versus linebackers and then defensive backs. And so the kids had their first taste of competition at Platteville, and they saw a really good Prairie du Chien team. I think we were shaking off a little bit of the rust, you know, from not touching a football for 6-7 months, but then really bounced back and competed well and defeated Sauk Prairie, and then saw another contest against Cuba City and went toe-to-toe with them. So we've got a young group of kids, but man, they are hungry, and they are looking to battle anybody they take the field with. You know, and then that following Sunday, we went to the 7-on-7 state championships, and that was our second year attending that. And, you know, that was a loaded field. You see a lot of different competition in northern Wisconsin, teams that we would never see unless it's a deep playoff run. And our kids ended up walking out of there 6th place overall, you know, and they were just battling. And these are some select teams from that part of the state. So we were super proud of the way they competed up there. You know, so with those 2 7-on-7 things, and then we welcomed in for the second year in a row our friends from Mount Horeb that run the off-season academy. And a lot of these guys are former Whitewater standouts or standouts in prep sports, kind of in the Mount Horeb area. And they do a phenomenal job. So it's just another opportunity for our kids to think football, right, to practice football without it being an official contact day for us. So we love that.
Football is certainly a fun sport all through, but it's almost like arena football when you do 7-on-7, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is high scoring. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times it'll go back and forth. You know, it's continuous clock, and so you're rushing to move the ball. So it's different than traditional 11-man, right, because you have basically four downs to get 20 yards and then score, you know, and then go back and forth. So the kids have really kind of gravitated towards that. And probably in the last 5 years, you've seen just a really big emergence of more 7-on-7 opportunities. So certainly with where we go and what we participate in, but also with our team tournament that we'll talk about later, we're seeing a bigger draw that's coming to our area.
Okay. How do the numbers look? I know that you haven't had the first official sign-up or anything like that, but the number's going to be pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're looking at probably around 50-ish, you know, which is saying a lot, right? Because after that, after COVID came through, that really did a number on our program numbers. But what we're seeing is that our participation numbers from youth all the way to our high school program are just kind of expanding, right, rapidly. So we want to make sure that we just give these kids some opportunity. So we're excited to see 50 kids in our high school program, right, but we see a kind of an emergence of bigger numbers at our middle school program, and then our youth numbers, you know, that Chris will talk about here in a little bit for flag and tackle are continuing to be on the rise.
How cool is it to have an ex-pro football player on your staff?
Oh, my gosh. It is so awesome to have him. You know, and people in the community know Brady, right? And you've had conversations with him. Just a humble guy, you know. And so Brady has really taken elements of a program that we may have lacked, especially within the areas of strength and conditioning, to the next level, you know. So Brady has really had his hand in a lot of our strength and conditioning program. And what we're seeing is that we have more participation, right? We have a lot of kids that are not plateauing anymore, and they're lifting numbers that we couldn't dream of before. So collectively, you're going to see kids, not just football players, right? Because we have a big presence of girls that are starting to participate as well with our strength and conditioning. You're just going to see kids from center that are going to be strong, right? They're going to be in good shape. And we're hopeful that that's going to carry over into dominant fall performances.
Tell me about the Brady Ewing Youth Camp.
Yeah, so this is the seventh year that we've done the Brady Ewing Youth Camp, you know, and it continues to grow. You know, I think this year we've got about 35 or 40 kids that are pre-registered. That's the most we've ever had pre-register, you know, because you always get about maybe 10, 15, 20 kids that show up the day of, which is totally fine. But we're excited that that's going to continue to kind of provide that opportunity for our youth, but also the draw from other communities. I mean, in the past, the draw has been from the La Crosse area, Madison, right, as far south as kind of the Platteville area, right? And so, you know, it's a really well-managed camp. Brady does a good job. Our high school staff is there. They run a lot of the drills. So it's fantastic. And it's not too late to sign up. So our camp is going to run next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 o'clock to 5:30. You know, and so we want to just open an invitation to any kid that wants to participate, you know, and the cost is about $20. But if finances are an issue, we won't turn any kid away.
That's real reasonable.
Yeah, we just try to keep it low with that because we wanted it still kind of a love and a passion for football at the youth level, right? And so, you know, comparable camps, you're going to see, you know, $50-$60 or something like that. You know, $20, they get, you know, an hour and a half over those 3 days each day, you know, and they walk out of there with a t-shirt, you know. And I think, you know, talking to parents that have attended in the past, it's probably one of the best camps in Southwest Wisconsin. They're really happy with what the kids get out of it.
That leads us into the looking ahead toward the fall. Coach Chris Lurkin is here in the studio with us as well. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. So you were back, was it last year when you were just first organizing things, or has that been 2 years already?
Well, it's everything's a blur. You know, I'm always trying to put something together, trying to get something for the youth to do. Mm-hmm. So, but this would be third year, starting with flag football. This would be our second year for tackle football in fifth and sixth grade.
Okay, and how has that gone for you in the past couple of years?
Flag football has been amazing. We've had so many kids come out. Last year, we had 42 kids out total, which we doubled from the first year. So I don't expect us to double again this year. That would be a huge number, but I don't expect that. But I do expect increased numbers going into this year. So as far as the tackle league, last year was our first year doing it. We had 18, 19 kids out, which is about the bare minimum you can have when you play 8-man football. But the kids that were out had a lot of fun. They played hard. So again, with those numbers, I'm expecting those to increase this year. Just trying to get friends out and kids interested in the sport.
Now, when you say league, Chris, for flag football, for instance, who do you play in those leagues?
So our league is actually all in-house right now.
Okay.
So we have enough kids, we can create at least four teams. That'll give us about 6 weeks to play. But this year, I'm hoping that we get more kids. We can create two different levels. The other thing that I'm looking to do with the Flag Football League is actually join into some tournaments. Riverdale has reached out to us, and I fully expect to sign up for that and get our teams into that, so that'll add another week into play. But it also gets you against some other kids that you haven't seen before. So I think that'll be fun for them.
That allows a lot of people, like somebody that's normally a lineman, can play quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, I would have dreamed to do that when I was a little kid. But but yeah, everyone's allowed to play quarterback. In the second level that we do with hopefully with third and fourth graders, we want those kids out there running, you know, offensive plays, running the defense by themselves. Just get them thinking independently on the game instead of having a coach to be out there the whole time. Now with first and second graders, you know, that's a little hard to keep them focused and straightforward. So you kind of need a coach out there on both sides of the ball. But yeah, we're looking to make the next step this year and have two different levels and have the kids participate a little bit more.
I know the number one reason why students go out for athletics is fun, you know, and I think that's absolutely what you want to instill at that age.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The whole point is to, you know, keep the kids out, let them have fun. We don't want to discourage anybody from being out there. You know, we want to make sure everyone participates. You know, equal playing time is not going to be an issue with anyone. You know, our coaches have done an excellent job in the past on making sure everyone gets involved.
When do they meet for fall flag league?
So our meeting is going to be Friday, August 2nd.
Okay.
When you sign up, I'm going to send out an email to you for confirmation. I'll have more information on future dates. That'll be one of those dates that'll be in the email to have all the parents come up, and I'll explain a little bit more in detail as far as what we're doing for the season.
And what about the Tackle League? When does that start up?
So the Tackle League will actually start the same day the high school does, which is August 2nd or 3rd. August 6th. Okay, we'll start the same day there. But they'll get about 2 weeks of practice in before they have their own scrimmage, and then they'll start their season. So as far as the parents' meeting go, we're actually going to do it the same night. I don't like to do multiple meetings if I don't have to, so I bring all the parents in from first through sixth grade and just kind of talk over everything, because I want the younger kids' parents to come in and see what we're doing in fifth and sixth grade. I kind of see where this is going to progress to.
And what are the ages for the Fall Tackle League, Chris?
So Fall Tackle League is 5th and 6th grade. We'll have one team in 5th, one team in 6th. We did allow 4th graders last year to move up and play. If there are some 4th graders that feel like, you know, they're advanced and have the ability to play tackle football and their parents are okay with it, then, you know, we'll have that discussion and we'll see if it fits for them.
Have you seen improvements then in the middle school program now that you've been around for a couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just getting this, you know, where kids are now starting football in first grade and they're working their way all the way up until middle school, where before I think they just kind of started in fifth grade and played, you know, practiced here and there, played a couple games. Now we're full into a schedule with those guys. So their level going into middle school is much higher than it was before. So it makes it easier on the middle school coaches, and then it makes it easier on us when they get up to high school.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to see the dividends in high school level too.
Oh, yeah, and I get to see them, you know, for 17 seasons, and I can see where they progress, you know, over that time. So it's nice to be able to, you know, be that intimate with, you know, their playing skills and how they progress over the years.
Most definitely. Tiffany Lemke has been the silent one in the corner here, but no longer. How you doing, Tiffany?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Wonderful. Well, we have you in here because of the Booster Club, and you're the president this year?
I am. I'm the president of the Athletic Booster Club, and we would love a lot of new members, so here I am to plead the case.
Here you are. Tell us about the mission of the group.
So the Booster Club, the entire reason that we exist is essentially to support athletes and to make sure that we're supporting our coaches through the school. We want to be able to go above and beyond some of the budgets that they have at the school and for their sports with fundraising, and be able to kind of supplement that and support the community and make sure that we're leading by example for those kids to see what parents and community members can do for athletics and for those kids.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the vision of the group then a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of have been focusing this year a lot on the impact that we can have. Beyond just raising money, we want to make sure that we are impacting every single sport and that we are demonstrating that impact over and over again. So we have been really, really thankful. We've had Coach Troxel, Coach Johnson, Coach Clerken, Coach Fink. A lot of them have been continually, Coach Davis especially, coming to booster meetings and bringing requests of just needs and things that would elevate the experience. I know Coach Davis said just last night at our booster meeting that he ran some numbers and we found out that we've, over the past few years, donated over $20,000 towards the weight room. So I think that's just a really good example of the way that we want to take action and start implementing a lot of what we've been doing fundraising.
That's phenomenal because we know that schools can't do it themselves, that they need a little boost, pun intended here. but certainly, so you look ahead at some things going on this year. How do you raise funds for the boosters?
Absolutely. So we have a few key fundraisers that we do. One of the bigger ones that comes up in the fall is our duck raffle. Now, I did try to get live ducks. They told me no yet again. I will continue to pursue that. But
our previous guest might have been able to help you.
We're going to have to talk. Yeah, maybe we at least can get a
kangaroo.
Yeah. So while we can't have live ducks, we do, during homecoming parade, end up releasing the ducks. We work with the fire department, and Mike Wirtz was really, really, really helpful last year with coordinating. We had the tech class build us our duck luge, for lack of a better word. And then we also had All-American donated the skid steer to bring it through the parade and then dump the ducks. So we're wanting to do something very similar to that. That's a huge fundraiser for us. Another thing that we're doing this year is we're trying to get creative with fundraisers because I know a lot of the times community members, parents, they get inundated, right? With fundraisers, you constantly have somebody selling you a raffle ticket for something. And Coach Davis just hit us up last night for his son in college to buy raffle tickets for him. So we're trying to do some kind of community building events. We did a dodgeball tournament last year that was pretty successful. So we're going to end up pursuing that again, make it annual. We're also going to be looking into bringing back yard signs, making some more merchandise like blankets and umbrellas for the fall season, and have that just kind of out and available during games. That way, you know, when it starts to get chilly at those football games, you can just come on over to the Booster Club and buy a blanket. And that all those proceeds will go straight to your athletes as well.
You encourage membership, and what are some of the dividends that you know you get when you're a member?
Yeah, so being a member is kind of multifaceted. So you obviously are a part of the Booster Club. You can join meetings. You have a say in where the funds go, and we ask basically that you come to a meeting if you can. We don't require participation in meetings by any means, but it can kind of give a voice and help you to take action on where you want those funds to go. But you also are being able to contribute financially, even if it's a small amount, with your club fees, just that one time per year, to your athletes. And then I think the biggest thing is you kind of get a sense of community. I think something that we tend to forget as adults is that we go to work, but we don't really have extracurriculars, right? Once you stop being a kid and you stop having all of these extra things you get to do, there's not really a lot of places to meet people. If you go to work and you meet people there, and then otherwise you just wave in the grocery store and move on. So I think it can also give a lot of people a sense of community and an outlet and a way to get involved and meet more people and feel very connected. And so I think that's kind of the non-tangible thing that you can get from the Booster Club when you sign up and become a member. I also think it's really important to lead by example and be showing all of our youth the way to get involved in a community. I think having that example of going beyond yourself and standing for something, whatever it is that interests you, there's something for you that you can donate your time to, even if it's just once a month. And that example is another kind of non-tangible thing that I think you can give when you become a member of Booster Club.
Yeah, well said, because you might be, you know, maybe your child plays soccer, your child plays golf or whatever, but it kind of unifies everybody together, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We also support every single sport. So I think one of the things that we started when the schools combined is we had 7th and 8th teams that originally did not have a booster club account. And so we ended up creating accounts and bringing them under that booster club kind of umbrella as well. So we raised funds for 7th and 8th teams as well. We opened up their accounts. We actually house all of the accounts for every sport. So even when a sport is fundraising on their own, you may notice they ask you, oh, please make the check out to the booster club. That's not because the booster club is taking their money in. That's because we are helping to manage their accounts. And every single sport has its own kind of balance that they run and they have access to.
We know football is expensive.
Yes, that's
one of those things you know, just because you've got to get helmets redone every so often, right, Coach? Isn't that how that works?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In the last few years, we've seen just a rise of expenses within football specifically. I think the new Axiom helmets that just came out, those are $700 a pop. You know, wow. Typically what we put a kid in is a Speedflex or a Shadow. I mean, you're looking at $450, $500 for a helmet. It's not like the helmet that I had. It was a deflated air bladder, I think, half the season.
You know, it wasn't a leather one, but it was no, it was close.
It had a face mask, I think. You know, but shoulder pads are $250, $300 a pop, you know. And so, you know, the joke within our program, right, is we have football season, we have off season, then we have fundraising season, you know, just because we have to. And so that's where, you know, the Booster Club has been absolutely instrumental in helping this. And a couple costs that have been very helpful over the last few months, they purchased a bunch of shoulder pads for us. We went through our inventory, and I think a lot of those were from the early 2000s. I think there were some from the 90s, maybe the 80s. Just stuff that you don't feel comfortable putting a kid in, you know. And so we recognize that we want our kids to have good equipment, right? We want them to be safe, you know, so that's not a concern for the athlete, for parents, for coaches, or whatever. So with shoulder pads, and then just recently last night, the Booster Club was able to really help us with our JV uniforms as well, you know, because uniforms are easily $150 a pop. And like you said earlier, just the school budgets don't allow for, you know, this additional expense. So the Booster Club has been awesome in that regard. So with shoulder pads, with JV jerseys, right, and then what Tiffany talked about with a lot of our weight room investment have just allowed us as a program to put our kids into the best equipment that we can out there, but also develop them overall as an athlete. So it's pretty cool, and it's nice to see everything come together, youth, community, you know, Booster Club, school, you know, all for the benefit of kids.
Indeed. How often do you meet for the Boosters?
So the Booster Club meets once a month. We meet the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. We meet at the high school. Like I said, it's open to absolutely anybody. So even if you're just curious and want to listen in, you're welcome to come. I can't promise I won't say hi to you because I'm probably going to call you out and say hi. But you don't have to participate in the actual meeting if you don't want to. You can just be there to kind of absorb it. We like to have fun as well, but we also like to make sure that there's never a time where a team has to pick between safety or something that's going to benefit an athlete's growth, right? Like if Coach Troxel wants to allocate some of his sports-specific budget to these growth opportunities, he shouldn't have to sacrifice that growth opportunity for his athletes to have to get something that's going to make the sport safer for them. That's where we step in. And so we've been really, really passionate about making sure that we're not just fundraising and hoarding it like a dragon, right? We want to make sure that we're spending it. That is our entire purpose, is to spend that money that we're making. And so we want to make sure that we're still funneling it back into those athletics. I think one of the bigger purchases we did this last year was the Run Rockets. And those were, I actually got to experience that last night. I raced Coach Davis and I won.
Run Rockets, what is that?
So what it is, it's a mechanism where it's like a big wheel, right? But you have a belt that you wear, so it's all resistant running. And so a lot of times you'll get in kind of a sprint stance, and then you'll go out 30 yards or whatever. And so you can dial up the resistance if you want more or less, depending on what that is. And what's nice is we use it for multi-directional mobility, you know, so kids can kind of get used to that. I think a lot of people might be familiar with like the parachute running.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This takes the parachute out of it, right? And what's nice is you can do sports-specific movements. So we can do lateral movements, right? Coach Davis showed Coach Johnson one day, hey, your volleyball kids can approach the net, right? And they can go up for a block and they can feel that, you know? Track kids can work on their starts out of the blocks and all of that kind of stuff. Football kids out of a stance, whether they're going forward or pulling or whatever. And then we take the belt off, right? And kids are like, wow, I don't know where that speed came from, right? Over the summer, my daughter will kill me here, but we actually, I had her do it. She's a seventh grader, right? And so she was used to that resistance. We took the belt off and she face planted, right? Because she wasn't used to that power that she had.
Right.
So, you know, we just kind of want to keep the body guessing a little bit with the overall development. And so this is one thing that we can work on, power, explosion, really out of whatever their initial stance may be. So it's really cool to see that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I did beat Coach Davis.
All right. Yeah. Here it is. Yep. It's on the radio. It must be true. Well, Coach, let's look ahead a little bit. You got some things coming up for the start of the new campaign as well.
We do. We do. One of the big things that we've done over the last few years is we've had a 7-on-7 team tournament that we've hosted here in Richland Center. And so last year, we took that to the next level. And I think last year we had 18 teams that came, you know, just to compete. JV squads, varsity squads. And so what we're seeing here is a comparable participation level with teams. And it's interesting because you always get different teams, you know. And so it's nice to have Coach Phelps' squad from Riverdale, right? Coach Kelly's team from Ithaca, they'll be in attendance, you know. But then we have draws from Westby and River Ridge, right? You know, I think this year we had interest from Iowa. So it continues to kind of grow a little bit more. And our focus is to make that the premier 7-on-7 tournament in Southwest Wisconsin, you know. And so that's a good opportunity for our kids to really come together, especially after team camp, as we start looking at